labeling the missing data fields in your CRM for each customer and filling in any information that you know off the top of your head. If you're not 100% sure, fill it in and confirm using another source in the subsequent steps of the investigate process. LinkedIn. Find the LinkedIn profile for the customer in question. This will offer insight into your customer's current job position and entire work history. The most robust profiles on LinkedIn also share information such as where the individual attended undergraduate school or graduate school, the languages they speak, the popular leaders and entities they follow, and in some cases, their birthday. Review the page to complete any missing data fields in your CRM. Don't forget to review activity, articles, featured skills or endorsements, recommendations received, etc. Finally, make sure to copy the URL of the LinkedIn profile page and paste it into your CRM to make future research faster and easier. Facebook. Facebook is also a treasure trove of data and information. Seen by many as the more personal side of their online profile, Facebook gives you the opportunity not only to see stated hobbies and biographical facts, but also to see photos of this specific customer, from which you can learn how they like to spend their leisure time. A profile photo will give you tremendous insight into your customer. Is the photo a traditional headshot? Is it a glamour shot? Is it professional? Is it informal? Are there props or clues in the photo that give you an idea about your customer's interests, hobbies, or travels? Is the photo recent or a throwback to yesteryear? The old adage that a picture is worth a thousand words holds true when reviewing customer profile headshots. Finally, make sure to copy the URL of the Facebook profile page and paste it into your CRM to make future research simpler. Company website. In addition to researching social media profiles, company websites often have extensive About Us sections where team members are profiled. The closer your customers are to holding C-suite positions, the more likely you will find information about them on the company website. Don't forget to review any company newsletters for team member profiles. Finally, make sure to copy the URL of the company website and record it in the CRM. Google searches. After exhausting the obvious resources, a simple search on Google or another search engine will find any mentions of the person in traditional media, blogs, and other websites. It never ceases to amaze me how much I can learn by merely spending 5 to 10 minutes investigating online. Search for the individual customer in question by searching their name within quotation marks. Depending on the familiarity or commonality of the name, you may need to add additional terms to the search, including the name of their employer, the town where they reside, etc. Click through the links to confirm the link refers to your customer, and then use any data you find to complete any missing data fields in your CRM. Customer surveys. If you find there is a specific piece of information that is lacking across your CRM, a customer survey may be an efficient way to gather that data for every customer you serve. When conducting these surveys, remember to be short, ask only a few questions, relevant, ask questions the customer can imagine you need to know, and efficient, use an online surveying tool, to increase the likelihood of completion and decrease the likelihood of annoying your customers. If you think surveys will be necessary for you to fill in your knowledge gaps, coordinate this effort across your entire organization to make sure you aren't constantly asking customers to share information and respond to surveys. The direct ask. When all else fails, you can ask your customers specific questions to complete their customer profiles. Consider doing this in an I tell, you tell format. For example, when trying to discern a favorite sports team, you can share the team you cheer for and then ask the customer if there is a particular team they support. By sharing your personal and emotional connection first, it helps to put the customer at ease and greatly increases the likelihood that they will volunteer personal and emotional information. The focused listen. By practicing a commitment to focused listening, you can quickly gather information on your customers. Pay attention to side comments and subtle references in order to learn valuable information. For example, if you're on a call with a customer and their dog is barking in the background, you may hear them say, "Rover, be quiet." By following up and saying, "What kind of dog is Rover?" you can enter three useful pieces of data into your CRM. 1, the customer has a dog. 2, the dog is named Rover. 3, Rover is a German Shepherd. This research is ongoing and represents a commitment to continually learning more about your customers. Your leaps and bounds ahead. Presuming you completed the tasks outlined as part of the investigate process, as opposed to just listening to this and saying, "I'll get to that when I'm done," you're ready to move on to the next element of the process. Observe. Observe. If you're willing to watch and listen, you can learn almost anything you want to know about your customers. The next step in the customer experience enhancement process is to observe your customer in their natural habitat. By observing our customers' interactions, we create unique opportunities to build connection and rapport. Allow me to share a great example of a time when someone observed me in order to create a remarkable experience. How does he know? Years ago, I traveled to Toronto to give a keynote speech. After a long day of travel, I was already several hours behind schedule as I sat in a taxi in front of the Omni King Edward Hotel and tried to settle up with the driver. If you've never traveled to Canada, you might not realize that if you pay by credit card, you, the customer, handle the credit card approval process. For Americans, this is a foreign concept. The driver handed me a portable credit card processing machine. I inserted my credit card, and I slowly navigated my way through the screen prompts. To complicate matters, the processing machine offered both English and French options. Of course, I accidentally selected the French option. Did I mention I don't speak French? It was a disaster. I noticed out of the corner of my eye as the bellman came forward and walked down the hotel stairs toward the taxi. I started to get anxious because, knowing how hospitable Canadians are, I imagined the bellman would be opening the taxi door while I was still trying to pay. As a result, he would end up standing there waiting for me while I fumbled around to complete the credit card processing. Much to my surprise, when I next glanced out the window, the bellman had reappeared at the front door of the hotel. Only this time he was holding my suitcase. He had walked down to the taxi, retrieved my luggage from the trunk, and carried it to the front entrance. Once again, the bellman started walking toward the taxi. When he arrived, he merely placed his hand on the door handle and stood waiting next to the cab. The moment I finished processing the credit card and handed the machine back to the taxi driver, the bellman opened the door and in a welcoming voice said, "Good evening, Mr. Coleman. Welcome to the Omni King Edward." I was astounded. How did this bellman know who I was? The hotel's information regarding my flight and my arrival time was completely off because my flight had been delayed by several hours. Certainly my reputation couldn't have preceded me. Eventually, I asked him. He said he knew my name because he read the luggage tag on my bag. This incredible bellman had taken the time to read my name off the suitcase so that he could address me by name. When I asked him why he did this, he explained, "It's really pretty simple, to be honest. I've found that people really like it when I call them by their name." This level of personalization, calling me by name, in the first interaction, was unexpected. By observing my name tag, the bellman enhanced my experience with the hotel. Needless to say, I hold a very fond spot in my heart for the staff at the Omni King Edward in Toronto. A weary traveler's nightmare scenario. I once took a multi-week speaking tour that ended with my arrival for an event in Las Vegas only 30 minutes before the kickoff reception began. The event was held at the Mandarin Oriental, a Forbes triple five-star luxury hotel that is unlike any other venue in the city of Las Vegas. It has no slot machines and no gaming tables. In fact, the hotel is located 8 stories above the Strip and has a beautiful view of Las Vegas Boulevard without subjecting guests to its craziness. After I checked in, I went up to my room to quickly drop off my bag before heading to the kickoff reception. I opened my suitcase and removed my toiletry bag. Unzipping the toiletry bag, I witnessed a traveler's nightmare. My cough syrup had exploded in my toiletry bag. I'd been on the road for several weeks and developed a cold during my travels. At my previous location, I had grabbed a bottle of cough syrup before jumping on the plane and quickly chugged a swig of the medicine. I painfully realized that I had not tightly closed the cap on the bottle prior to putting it in my bag, and as a result, cherry cough syrup had spilled everywhere. It coated everything. My toothbrush was sticky. My deodorant was sticky. My shaving cream and razor were sticky. Everything in my toiletries bag was coated in a sticky pink goo. Cleaning up this mess was going to be on par with cleaning up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. I didn't have enough time to wash everything, so I left the bag in the hotel bathroom and raced downstairs for the welcoming reception, figuring that I would deal with the mess when I returned. 2.5 hours later, I came back to my room and found an incredible surprise. The housekeeping staff had done a turndown service, and I found my toothbrush, deodorant, razor blade, and shaving cream were all cleaned and laid out to dry on a pristine white towel. The bottle of cough syrup, which had been an absolute disaster, was sparkling, as was the complimentary dosage cap that came with it. But what impressed me the most was the written note I found under the clean bottle of cough syrup. The note said, "I hope you're feeling better, Mr. Coleman. Kelly." To say I was both shocked and moved by this touching and thoughtful gesture would be an understatement. Do you think the management from the Mandarin Oriental Las Vegas conducts a training for their housekeeping staff in which they detail a specific set of procedures and policies for handling a situation where a bottle of cough syrup has not been properly closed and as a result leaks all over a customer's luggage? Absolutely not. Instead, the Mandarin Oriental trains its employees to do everything possible to make customers' visits remarkable. A key practice in this commitment is to observe the customer. In this particular case, the housekeeper, Kelly, went above and beyond to make me feel comforted after observing the cough syrup disaster. Not only did she clean all of my items, a daunting task that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but her thoughtful note left me feeling cared for in a way that I had not before and have not since experienced at a hotel. By observing my behaviors and then acting on that information, Kelly was able to create a meaningful moment that I'm still raving about years later. Observe, a step-by-step process. Investigating your customers provides a great foundation, but all too often companies stop there and miss the opportunity to catch the nuances of their customers' behaviors. By incorporating observation into your customer intelligence gathering, you can add new insights about your customers and the way they use and interact with your products and services. This in turn can give you ideas on how to further enhance the overall experience of your customers. Watch your customers in their natural habitat. It's not enough to consider your customers from afar. You must get up close and witness their actions, comments, and behaviors. When was the last time you watched a customer use your product or partake of your service? If it was more than a month ago, it's been too long. Examine your customers' day-to-day lives and see how your offerings affect and influence their interactions. Walk in your customer's shoes. In the literary classic, To Kill a Mockingbird, the protagonist, Atticus Finch, gives advice to his young daughter in the famous line, You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it. Try to interact with your product or service in a way that takes you back to a time when you didn't know anything about how to use it or how it worked. Is the experience effortless? Do you know what to do at each step in the process? The better you get at regularly seeing your business from your customers' eyes, the more you will appreciate their experience and be able to make it better. Study the little things. Pay attention to the micro interactions your customers have with you and your products or services. Consider the little things that seemingly have nothing to do with you, but upon further examination are connected. Often, it's the littlest observations that have the biggest impact. Record now, review later. It's often difficult to observe, consider, analyze, and improve in the same sitting. Give yourself permission to record your observations and then set up a time shortly after, within 1 to 2 days, to review your findings. You'll be surprised how much additional insight comes from giving your subconscious mind time to process what it witnessed. Listen and look for the golden nuggets that drop from the sky. On several occasions as a child and as a practicing attorney, I had the chance to sit at counsel's table in the courtroom next to my father, a well-known and highly successful criminal defense trial attorney. He regularly encouraged me to listen for the golden nuggets that drop from the sky. He believed that in every trial, there were 2 or 3 moments when a witness, the opposing counsel, or the judge would say something that could change the course of the trial. But you would catch it only if you were paying extremely close attention. I've incorporated this philosophy into my customer observations as well. I can't give advice about what specifically your customer may say, but I can promise that if you listen closely, you will learn things that can change the course of the customer journey. Allow me to make an observation. Presuming you completed some, if not all, of the recommendations I just outlined as part of the observe process, you're a pro by now, always doing the exercises. I love it. You're ready to move on to the next step in the process. Personalize. Personalize, making every interaction with your customers meaningful. The third step in the process of enhancing customer experiences is to personalize your interactions. Building on the investigations and the observations you've made in the previous 2 steps, you are now better positioned to customize your communications. Any piece of information you can learn about a customer offers the potential for a tailored interaction. Imagine learning that your customer attended the same undergraduate university you attended. Now you have the opportunity to create a connection that will most likely result in an instant and strong bond. Imagine learning that one of your customers was born in the same small town that you were. Relating over where you were born and raised offers an immediate connection between 2 otherwise unknown individuals. By learning about your customer's hobbies, you have the opportunity to discover if you share any similar hobbies. At the very least, knowing your customer's hobbies allows you to more effectively select gifts and target your interactions. When it comes to potentially overlapping interests that you have with your customers, you must be honest. If you share a common interest, it's great to share that with your customer. If you don't try to. If the conversation goes beyond the initial disclosure, as it surely will if you've hit on a true interest, you will quickly be out of your element and the customer will know immediately. Your lack of honesty combined with the veiled attempt to build rapport when there actually wasn't any common ground will set the relationship back and may even end it. Better not to say anything at all or even admit that you don't have the same level of interest than to pretend or even worse, lie. When you are honest with your customer, the relational dynamics click into place in unprecedented ways, creating strong bonds and clear connections. After discovering one of my clients was a fan of photography, I recently found myself walking through an exhibit at an art gallery showcasing the work of a world-renowned photographer whose expertise is black and white photos of animals in Africa. I knew this was something my client would appreciate. I decided to send the hardcover show catalog to my client as a gift. I thought it was the perfect way to let him know that I was thinking of him. I took the extra step of personalizing it myself and having the photographer personalize and sign the book as well. Within minutes of receiving the package, the client sent me a text message thanking me for the wonderful gift. He let me know that he had gained a newfound appreciation for the possibilities of photographing animals in the wild. Anything that truly matters to your customers is a chance for you to connect with them in a way that can build instant favor and rapport. Whether their hobbies include the culinary arts, musical theater, interpretive dance, college football, pro hockey, astronomy, collecting Star Wars memorabilia, or heavy metal, knowing more about your customers allows you to personalize communications with them. Given that many of your customers will likely fall into a similar demographic, you can batch your personalization moments and create communications that apply to several of your customers all at once. The opportunity for connection is only limited by your willingness to investigate and observe the things that matter most to your customers. Personalize, a step-by-step process. Once you've completed the missing data fields in your CRM for all of your customers using the techniques outlined in the investigate and observe steps discussed before, and you have a system for getting complete data early on in any new customer relationship, you are ready to use this information to create personalized touchpoints that strengthen the relationship with your customers. Personal wows. The easiest way to create a remarkable customer experience is to use personal and emotional connections when communicating with individual customers. This can be as simple as asking, "How is your daughter Lauren doing at Iowa State University?" where your CRM tracks the names of your customers' children and the schools they attend. Or as complex as giving the customer an issue of Adventure Comics number 48, the first appearance of Hourman, to celebrate their retirement. The perfect gift based on your discovery that your customer loves this superhero and is missing a key issue in their comic book collection. Wow groups. When multiple customers have a similar interest, you can design communications that allow you to create a personal and emotional connection with multiple customers at the same time using the same data points and ideas. For example, if several customers are fans of a particular musician or band, for example, Maroon 5, when that group releases a new album, you can send it to each of them. Remember, presents don't need to be expensive. They just need to be personalized and thoughtful. Customer appreciation events. As you notice trends within your customer base, you can start to plan customer appreciation events built around their common interests. If 40% of your customers love golf, a group golf outing at a hard-to-access golf course could be a great way to build rapport across this particular segment of your customer base. This one's for you. Now that you've considered how to incorporate more personalization into your customer communications and interactions as part of the personalized process, you're ready to move on to the final step. Surprise. Surprise. Going above and beyond to make your customers smile. The final step in the process is surprise. In the typical business, the thought of a surprise usually falls into the category of sending an annual holiday gift, which is often a fruit basket or some other meaningless, non-personalized item that doesn't create a connection with the customer. In recent years, the fruit basket has been replaced by the all-too-popular gift card to a national chain retail establishment. When was the last time that a gift card made you feel a relationship was meaningful or special? Imagine if your parents gave you a gift card to a national chain restaurant for your birthday. I'm guessing that wouldn't qualify as the best gift you ever received. When we treat our customers in this commoditized way, the message we send is that they don't matter as individuals. We also send the message that the convenience of giving the same gift to every customer outweighs the investment of time it would take to give something personalized or special. When it comes to presents and gifting, my good friend John Rulin of the Rulin Group, remember, he's the guy who produced the locker room wood speakers for the Chicago Cubs, is one of the world's top experts. John teaches and speaks on the topic of strategic appreciation, a regular practice and policy of gifting a customer in order to show appreciation and to build a foundation for increased business and personal interactions in the future. John's book, Giftology, The Art and Science of Using Gifts to Cut Through the Noise, Increase Referrals, and Strengthen Retention, offers a quick guide to incorporating strategic appreciation into your business. I first met John when we both attended the same conference. After a few minutes of conversation, we agreed to exchange business cards and stay in touch, as John's approach to customer care was in alignment with my philosophy for creating remarkable customer experiences. Arriving home from the event several days later, I was surprised to find a box addressed to me with a return address from John. When I opened the package, I found a beautiful chef's knife engraved with a message, handcrafted exclusively for the Joey and Barrett Coleman family. Nowhere on the knife did it say John Rulin's name. Nowhere on the knife did it have any messaging about his business. John's present was a true gift, and it was personalized to my family. One of the most interesting things about this gift from John is that it gets two touches in our house every night. My wife cooks dinner and I wash the dishes. She reaches for the John Rulin knife every night when preparing dinner, and I clean it by hand every night after dinner. Before returning it to the woodblock, John also sent along with his thoughtful gift. John gets thought of at least twice in our house every single night, despite the lack of markings of his name or company name anywhere on the gift he gave us. This is a testament to his belief in creating artifacts and signature pieces that are representative of the relationship you have and desire with your customers. The other interesting part of this gift is the actual inscription. The inscription is made out to the whole family, me, my wife, and by referencing family, our children. When gifting your customers, it's important to recognize that the surprise needs to be a surprise for all of the recipients, not just the primary point of contact. John regularly talks about taking advantage of the opportunity to gift the spouse of your customer or the family of your customer. This creates an even greater impact on the relationship and the various recipients. As someone who certainly appreciates gifts, I actually find myself more appreciative of a gift directed toward my wife or my two sons. It gives me the opportunity to see the joy in their faces when they open and use the gift, and it becomes a more lasting connection to the gift giver. It's meaningful to us. It's an experience we can share, and it's not just something for me. You also want to consider the quality of the gift. In a separate instance, John also sent me the best scissors I have ever owned, or used for that matter. The Cutco scissors with red handles, my brand color, are also engraved and get regular use in our home. The fact that they sit in the knife block, next to the knives John has gifted me over the years, yes, he's added to the collection over time, just adds to the experience. Surprise. A step-by-step process. Now that you know all about your customers and have personalized your interactions and communications, it's time to enhance the experience by surprising them. Most organizations think of surprises and gifts too late and then rush to do something for every customer. The same thing for every customer, done at the last minute. to avoid giving gifts that either are a waste of money or, in some circumstances, will actually hurt the relationship, consider these recommended things to do and not to do, many of which are covered in much greater depth in John Ruland's book, Giftology. Surprise the spouse and family. All too often, organizations overlook the people who have the most influence on customers' decisions and behaviors. If you surprise the customer's spouse and any children they may have with special gifts, you can almost guarantee that the family will sing your praises to your target customer. This type of encouragement, coming from your customer's loved ones, is some of the best support and promotion money can buy. Remember the assistant and team members. By delivering moments of surprise and delight to your customer's assistant and/or fellow team members, you can gain an ally in the office. Giving gifts that make your customer look like a hero will certainly win you points with your customer while broadening your reach and reputation within the organization. Should your customer leave the company for any reason, you will already have a foundation of solid relationships with those who stay behind. Eliminate your logo, tagline, or any other message or image about you. Let's be honest. If you give a customer an item with your logo or name on it, you're not giving a gift. You're giving a marketing tool that you hope the customer will show to their friends, which ideally will lead to more business for you. There is nothing wrong with promotional products or branded items. They just aren't gifts. Don't pat yourself on the back for your gifting acumen if the item in question has any reference to you or your brand, a logo, inscription, brand colors, etc. Instead, strive to give a gift that is so remarkable in its own right that when other people see it, they will immediately ask your customer, "Where did you get that?" Put the recipient's name on it. Where appropriate, personalize the gift with the recipient and/or their family's name. As discussed earlier in this chapter, using a customer's name is one of the most powerful ways for you to build connection and rapport. Giving the customer a quality item that is personalized by name not only guarantees a deeper emotional connection to the item, but it almost guarantees the customer will keep the item for a long time. Give the very best you can afford. Make sure any gifts you give are best in class. Nothing ruins a relationship faster than a cheap gift. It sends the very clear message that you see the relationship as being worth very little. Instead, budget for customer surprises as you would for any other business expense. John Ruland recommends, and I agree, that you should set aside from 2 to 10% of your net profits to use for gifting. This is a necessary relationship investment, as important as the software you use to track your customer interactions. If you're willing to take a customer to a nice dinner or provide tickets to a sporting event or concert, you should be willing to spend the same amount of money on a nice gift. Experiences are great, but help the customer remember. Gifting your customers with remarkable experiences is fantastic, but don't forget to memorialize the experience with a memento. Dinners, concerts, golf outings, and the like tend to be forgotten rather quickly, but not when paired with a cookbook from the restaurant, a framed photo of the band from the concert, or a piece of golf apparel from the pro shop at the golf course you played. These are the types of gifts that keep on giving long after the experience. Pay attention to the calendar. Surprisingly, there is a bad time to surprise your customers with a gift. Anytime around a major holiday. This is when everyone sends gifts, and it's easy to get lost in the noise. Instead, give gifts when no one expects it. By making your surprises more random, you make them more memorable. Be better than average. The average person gives money or gift cards or food. Each of these can be problematic. Money can feel transactional, Gift cards lack personalization or warmth, and food gets consumed and then forgotten. Instead, seek out practical luxuries, the types of items that will delight your customer in the days, weeks, and months ahead. You needn't spend a lot of money, but you should spend a lot of time selecting and perfecting the gift for your customer. Don't worry about pleasing everyone. Have you ever received a gift that missed the mark? We all have. If you incorporate more surprises into your strategic appreciation of customers, you won't please everyone. And that's okay. For every surprise that doesn't work, many more will. Most organizations try to come up with a single gift to give every customer that won't offend or stand out too much. Yet these same organizations are surprised when the reactions from their customers are less than positive or missing altogether. Instead of gifting everyone, start by giving remarkable gifts to 2 or 3 customers. You will be amazed at your return on investment. Don't forget the note. If you're going to make the effort to surprise someone, you should be willing to make the effort to write a handwritten note to accompany your gift. If you're not willing to do that, please don't even bother with the gift. Don't give to receive. When I was growing up, my mother used to say, "Never give a gift just to get the thank you card." What incredible words of wisdom from an equally incredible person. Give presents and surprises because you want to, not because you want to be seen a certain way or you think it will lead to something else in return. No one likes a present that arrives with strings attached. Trust me, the return on your gifting will work its way back to you even faster if you have no expectation for it. No surprise here. You've done it. Congratulations on learning all the tips and tricks of strategic appreciation and giving surprises as outlined in this step-by-step process. You now have everything you need to effectively implement gifting into your customer onboarding processes. You also have a clear 4-step process for positioning your organization to implement the 8 phases of a remarkable customer experience journey. How do I get my employees to follow this process? Often the CEO or an executive leader in a company will learn about this process and, while excited about the possibilities, will immediately turn skeptical because of the need to enlist employees in the implementation. Rest assured, there are a number of proven ways to get employee buy-in when it comes to adopting a customer experience enhancement program. Get employees involved from the beginning. All too often, senior management decides to make the customer a priority and then proceeds to find consultants and advisors to develop the strategy and oversee the implementation. Invariably, this leads to revised systems and processes, upgraded technology solutions, and restructuring of titles and compensation plans. Needless to say, when these initiatives are finally introduced to the employees at large, they are often met with a lackluster response. Employees view these activities as flash in the pan or flavor of the month endeavors that will soon be abandoned or forgotten. As such, they don't buy into the reasons for the shift, nor do they adopt the behaviors necessary for implementing a successful customer experience program. In order for customer experience to get better, the employees must be part of the planning from the outset. Let employees co-create the experience. By involving employees from the start in the design and structure of all customer experience initiatives, not only do you increase the likelihood that they will embrace these new activities, but you boost the likelihood of success. Employees often know more about how to improve the customer experience than management imagines. Giving employees a voice in the design of the customer journey establishes feelings of significance and value and instills a sense of ownership in executing on the strategy and plan. Give employees autonomy to create their own experience. Just because they have offices, cars, and clothes that are nicer, bigger, or more expensive doesn't mean the management team has a monopoly on good ideas and great experiences. By giving employees the freedom to develop their own approach to customer experience, you will be able to harness their creativity while also encouraging them to be good stewards of organizational resources. Establish a customer experience budget. While creating remarkable experiences is more often about intention than investment, allocating a budget to enhancement activities increases the likelihood of program success. Assigning a per-customer budget that must be spent on customer experience in the first 100 days of the relationship guarantees that actions will be taken early in the customer journey to mark the customer's value and signal appreciation for the business. Track and celebrate the small wins. All too often, customer experience efforts focus on the large victories instead of the small wins. By paying attention to little improvements and then honoring them with big celebrations, managers can send a clear message to employees that the details matter and that minor improvements in the customer experience have a compounding effect when collected over time. By praising progress at any scale, organizations can build momentum and enthusiasm for a commitment to customer experience that, by definition, is a never-ending effort. Form a brand experience team. Assembling a group of employees to serve as your brand experience team and giving them authority to oversee and operate the customer experience enhancement activities instills a sense of pride and ownership. Establishing a commitment to putting the customer first further strengthens the organizational culture. Consider assigning no more than half of the members of the brand experience team and seek volunteers for the remaining positions. Don't hesitate to look for participants in every department, role, and position within the company. You will often find a commitment to customer experience where you least expect it. By giving employees a major role in the development, execution, and management of your customer experience initiatives, not only will you see a cultural shift across the organization, but you will ensure customer experience remains a priority in your organization for many years to come. How do I get my employer to make this a priority? Sometimes management is so focused on the day-to-day activities of the organization that they can miss big-picture problems. Getting senior leaders to realize the importance of prioritizing the customer is often a daunting task that appears to have no upside worth pursuing. Time and time again, however, the individuals who take the lead in customer experience enhancement activities see promotion and advancement that outpace their colleagues, not only because of the increased interactions with senior management, but because of the direct correlation between the employees' activities and new increases in revenue, retention, and profit. Buy them this book. Sometimes the best way to persuade a member of senior management to pursue an idea is to make sure the idea comes from someone outside of the company and its chain of command. I'm happy to play that role for you. Just purchase a copy of this book for the person you're trying to persuade and ask them to read it or listen to it. I've worked to make the book applicable at both a strategic and tactical level, so my hope is that it speaks to executives with both dispositions. Give them a copy of the Quick Start Kit. You can download the Never Lose a Customer Again Quick Start Kit at joeycoleman.com/quickstart. It's a fast read that shares an overview of the philosophy and methodology outlined in this book, and then augments it with a series of exercises and recommendations designed to get the reader thinking and feeling differently about customer experience. After that, the Quick Start Kit is designed to help garner some initial wins and build momentum for these types of customer experience programs. Lend them your copy of this book. If you've been the diligent listener that I know you to be, you've taken notes and answered the questions at the conclusion of the preceding chapters. By sharing your answers with a member of senior management, you show your commitment to growth and learning, your interest in customer experience, and your willingness to do the homework for them. Your understanding of the methodologies, philosophies, and systems outlined in this book should give them confidence in the fact that at least one of their employees has bought in and is ready to take action. Numbers tell and sell the story. There are two statistics that regularly get the attention of the senior management team. First, somewhere between 20 and 70% of all new customers across all industries leave within the first 100 days of the relationship, never to do business with that organization again. Second, if you can keep just 5% of the customers who are leaving, it will increase profits by 25 to 100%. These statistics aren't mine. They are combined from dozens of sources across a variety of disciplines. In short, retention is where it's at, and there is no way to grow revenues or profits faster than by keeping your existing customers. Expose them to reality. Most senior management types haven't been in the field or seen the frontline interactions of the business in ages. They have grown distant and are now surrounded by rarefied air. They have forgotten what it's like to speak to an irate customer on the phone. They haven't spoken to an actual customer in days, weeks, months, or even years. By exposing executives to the reality of the current customer experience, you can bring their attention to focus and connect them to the pain and struggle customers experience interacting with your brand. Improve the customer experience without asking. I've been a fan of the saying, "It's better to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission," for decades. The applicability to your situation is as follows. Go take the necessary steps to improve the customer experience starting tomorrow. Track and document your efforts and see what happens. I'd be willing to bet that either the customer experience will improve, in which case you can point to your activities as a success, or your efforts will have no appreciable impact on the business, in which case you can refine, hone, and start again. In all my years of working in customer experience, over 90% of employees who moved ahead with initiative were rewarded, while the other 10% still managed to learn a lot about themselves and customer experience in the process. Investigate, observe, personalize, and surprise. It really is that easy to create remarkable customer experiences. By incorporating the four-step process of investigate, observe, personalize, and surprise, any business can dramatically enhance customer experience across all eight phases of the customer lifecycle. Using this four-step process allows you to design and deliver remarkable customer experiences throughout your organization. Chapter 17. Conclusion. If Comcast can do it, so can you. As part of my work helping companies enhance their customer experiences, and in the process, keep more of their customers, I do workshops around the world where we dive into the specific operations of individual businesses. To start these workshops, I often ask the audience a question. Think of the worst experience you've ever had with a business you interact with as a customer. I then request that they take 2 minutes to write down the name of the brand and the associated experience. The pens start flying across the page, and it never takes the full 2 minutes before the audience members have vented their collective frustrations at a variety of brands. After doing this exercise with tens of thousands of audience members around the world, there is one name that consistently comes up. Comcast. I've never been shocked by this answer, as I experienced Comcast as a customer years ago. And it was horrible. Let's get you signed up for internet and cable. My Comcast journey began with my request to start a new account and schedule installation for both internet access and cable TV service. The representative set me up and then explained that the earliest they could come for my installation was a week later, which was disappointing. The representative asked if I wanted a morning or afternoon appointment, and I told her a morning appointment would work best. She then said the technician would arrive sometime between 8 a.m. and noon. That seems like a rather large potential arrival window, I noted. Can you give me a more specific idea of the time than that? No, she replied, without hesitation or recognition that this was a significant inconvenience to me. Because I wanted internet and cable service, I agreed to her offer. A week later, having taken the morning off work, I waited in my apartment for the Comcast technician to arrive and complete my installation. He didn't arrive at 8 a.m. or anywhere within the stated window of time. In fact, he didn't arrive at all. At 12:01 p.m., I called Comcast in frustration, explaining that the technician never arrived. Without so much as an apology, the call center representative said he could reschedule me for a second visit a week later with the same 4-hour window for the appointment. I was now 2 weeks out from when I originally signed up for service, which left me feeling less than appreciated as a new customer. The feelings of buyer's remorse were in full effect. I spent most of the next week wondering whether I was going to be burned again by Comcast. 7 days later, I found myself once again waiting in my apartment for the Comcast technician to arrive. I needed to take off another half day of work, and I was now eating into my vacation days. Once again, the 4-hour window came and passed without the technician showing up. I called Comcast in frustration, and they promised he was en route and would be there directly. An hour and a half later, the technician finally arrived. He came in and hooked everything up without even acknowledging, let alone apologizing for, his late arrival. I now had cable TV and internet access, but I also had a bad taste in my mouth from the poor customer experience with Comcast. My Comcast experience was not unique. Customer Experience Index 2010, authored by customer experience expert Bruce Temkin and published by Forrester Research Inc., mirrored my personal experience with Comcast. Forrester conducted a survey by interviewing more than 4,600 U.S. consumers about their interactions with a variety of companies. The survey gauged the usefulness, ease of use, and enjoyability of their experiences with a variety of well-known brands. Based on these consumer responses, Forrester calculated the Consumer Experience Index for 133 firms across 14 different industries. Comcast placed near the bottom of the survey results for all industries. For Comcast TV, 48% of customers said the experience was very poor. For Comcast Internet, 47% of customers said the experience was very poor. Almost half of the people dealing with Comcast at the time rated their experience as very poor, the lowest possible rating they could give. Then something changed. You can imagine my surprise when my good friend Jay Baer, author of the fantastic book Hug Your Haters, contacted me and said, "Joey, you need to check out what Comcast is doing to improve their customer experience." I was completely caught off guard. Comcast? Jay introduced me to Charlie Herron, Chief Customer Experience Officer at Comcast Cable, and we had a series of conversations about Comcast's customer experiences. I even went on-site to Comcast headquarters in Philadelphia to learn more about its efforts to improve. I was absolutely blown away. Repairing a broken cable company experience. For many years, Comcast was well known in the marketplace for having a poor customer experience. To solve this problem, the senior management team knew that continuing to attempt band-aid fixes wasn't going to work long term. Contrary to the usual practice, Comcast decided not to put a customer experience person in the new role it was developing, but rather to put a technology person in charge of this new initiative. In Comcast's view, customer service people have a tendency to see the world in a reactionary way, whereas technology people usually try to solve problems before they happen. Charlie believes that customer service is what happens when you experience a broken element of the business. He knew Comcast needed to adopt a more active and proactive approach to dealing with customers and to focus on the overall customer experience. At the end of 2014, after serving for years as the senior vice president of product development, where he oversaw the design of Comcast's Xfinity products from conception through consumer testing and deployment, Charlie Herron was promoted to the position of executive vice president, customer experience. He's now the chief customer experience officer. In his role, Charlie was familiar with looking at everything a customer experienced from beginning to end of the customer lifecycle. In the product development world, this approach is considered the normal way of doing things. Charlie quickly realized that within the broader organization of Comcast, this holistic approach to customer experience wasn't the norm. Most of the individuals and departments he explored at Comcast viewed interactions with customers as transactions, not part of a larger, ongoing relationship. The sales team focused on getting the sale in the door, but did nothing around the setup, the out-of-box experience, or the communications early in the customer relationship, let alone the ongoing interactions as the customer continued to do business with Comcast. In the early days on the job, Charlie went around to the various departments in Comcast and asked, "Who has the hardest job in this company?" Almost universally, employees responded that it was the frontline employees who dealt with customers, especially during the early stages of the relationship. But the more Charlie dug for answers, the more employees started to change their opinion. Fairly quickly, the majority of employees came to the conclusion that the customers actually had it the hardest. Bad for the customer, bad for the business, bad for the brand. Charlie looked at the customer's journeys. He conducted an analysis of the billing journey, the repair journey, the perception journey, and finally the onboarding journey. His team defined onboarding as where a customer needed to go for help, knowing what comes next, and understanding the value of what they purchase. Charlie and his team realized the very structure of Comcast was causing issues. The business operations were too siloed, with individual departments passing customers back and forth time and time again. No one took responsibility for the customer's issues, and as a result, they often went unresolved. There was no formal system in place to educate new customers about the products and services they purchased. Customers were left to fend for themselves as they navigated startup screens, confusing written documentation, and a complicated website that made finding any answers nearly impossible. In addition, despite having an interactive voice response queue in place, what you or I might refer to as a phone tree, the ability to fully anticipate customer needs was lacking. Calls poured in day after day as new customers tried to explain what they needed, and if they were lucky, were able to resolve the issue by speaking with a single representative. However, when a customer moved, they were required to call to set up billing at the new residence and then needed to call a different number to schedule the installation appointment. In short, Charlie recognized the entire Comcast onboarding process was a total nightmare for customers and employees alike. The more Charlie researched, the more he found devastating statistics. "We were making things harder by an order of 3 or 4 times magnitude," Charlie observed. "In the first 90 days, we experienced 1.5 times the truck rolls, trucks being dispatched to customer homes or businesses, 2 times the calls, and higher churn than at any other time in the customer lifecycle. Ironically enough, Charlie's experience with Comcast aligned with a common revelation my clients have when we start working together and